When we talk about St. Patrick, he was a saint, as in the patron saint of Ireland, not in the Roman Catholic sense of being canonized. He was not Irish, interestingly enough, but a missionary to Ireland from Scotland. And when he arrived in Ireland, most of the Irish practiced a nature-based form of paganism. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated March 17th, and that is to commemorate the death of St. Patrick in the 5th century. The first St. Patrick's Day parade did not take place in Ireland. It took place in New York City in 1762. And ironically, up until the 1970s, the Irish regulations mandated that pubs in Ireland be closed March 17th. Then in the mid-90s, the Irish saw St. Patrick's Day as an opportunity to enhance tourism. For us, as Christians, I think it's most noteworthy that St. Patrick's Day falls during the Lenten period. Most notably, Lent, of course, the 40 days during which we remember our sinfulness and which we repent of our sins and recognize afresh God's grace and forgiveness. This week is the final week, Holy Week, which begins the day after Palm Sunday. On Thursday, we honor the memory of the final Passover Supper, Good Friday, in which we celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we can say celebrate in that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is at once the most brutal and yet the most beautiful act in all of human history. Brutal in that you have the truly innocent man who suffers and dies for the sins of the world. Beautiful in that through this suffering, redemption is offered to humanity. And of course, all of this culminates on Easter Sunday, in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ is not raised, your preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just something we celebrate. It is the central pillar on which all of Christianity rises or falls. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Christ rose physically. If we would have been in the grave when Christ rose from the dead, we would have seen dust fly off the very slab on which Jesus Christ lay. And it's because of his physical resurrection that we know we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We too will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's a one-to-one correspondence between the body that dies and the body that rises. That doesn't mean that every atom is resuscitated, but it does mean that there's continuity between our present body and the new body that we will receive, a body that is resurrected such that our DNA flourishes to perfection. And of course, what happens to our bodies goes hand in hand with what happens to the universe. For the universe too, according to the Apostle Paul, will be liberated from its bondage to death and decay. And there's going to be a new order of things. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have been removed. And God himself will live with us. That, of course, is the box top of Scripture. Paradise lost will become paradise restored. So this week is not just an ordinary week. This is our week. And all of us should be equipped to communicate that the resurrection is not something we believe through blind faith, but rather something we accept through faith in evidence. Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty. He appeared, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and a band of scared, scattered disciples were transformed into lions of the faith who turned an empire upside down. And I think if we ever caught the beauty and the passion of resurrection in our own epoch of time, we could change our world in our lifetime. The real problem is not pagans who exercise their job description. It's Christians who are not exercising their job description, able always to give a reason, an answer for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect.